If this infinite universe had a better way to fill in the place and time that you currently occupy, it would have done so, but it has not. So you, as you are exact, intricate, beautiful, powerful, magnificent piece of the puzzle. Remember that and start releasing everything that's unworthy of that.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and our guest today is awesome. Dr. Vika. Victoria Rader is a visionary leader and possibility coach, transforming lives through her pioneering work in quantum personal development. As the founder of You to Shine, she empowers individuals to break free from limitations and unlock their fullest potential. Globally recognized for her expertise, Dr. Vika blends cutting-edge quantum techniques with timeless wisdom to guide her clients towards prosperity, personal freedom, and inner fulfillment. She's a best-selling author, speaker, and creator of breakthrough tools like Quantum Freedom and Empower Me apps. Her transformational teachings have been featured in Forbes, CNN, Fox, NBC, ABC, countless others, and her wisdom has even reached the moon. Got to talk about that. Through the Lunar Legacy Project with SpaceX. Dr. Vika, there's a lot of really fun things we're going to get to talk about today. Welcome to the Daily Helping. It is awesome, awesome to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It is so joyful already, and what a treat. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
I am as well. There's so many, like I said, I have so many things I want to talk to you about, but let's jump in the Dr. Vika time machine. Talk to us. Let's go back. Talk to us about what put you on the path you're on today.
You know, in the beginning, there was a light.
No. That's very biblical sounding, right? In the beginning.
Let's start out. Well, but it is, right? There is a light within your ATP. We can talk about spirituality of the light. We can talk about the physics. In the beginning, there is a light. We now know when the two cells meet, the two primary cells meet, there's a spark of light. I mean, that just came through, and we're going to go with what's coming through. So I was born in the Soviet Union where there was no light, you know, or no perceivable light, I should say. I was born actually in Ukraine, and unfortunately, now everybody knows what that is and where that is, and not for the most enlightening purposes. But I was born in a country that had no freedom, and that is the beginning of my story, because very early on, I understood on a subconscious level that the freedom inside is untouchable, and that no matter what happens outside of me, no matter what I'm stripped off or feel I have no choice in, what I think about it, how I feel about it, and by golly, the way I dream through it is untouchable. And in it lies the infinite freedom. So that has been the beginning of who I am. The little girl who in the summer lived in a village with an outhouse and yet was taught to be grateful because she had water from the well outside of indoor plumbing. And so I start my journey with a journey of gratitude with what is and the presence of abundance with what is. And I've grown through circumstances of that as a child. So I kind of speed forward very early on, understood that I had gifts, but thought they were curses. I was very, very psychic. I could see the person and know the person on the way that had no reasonable explanation.
Give us an example of that.
set an example of that. So my mom's, I'm going to talk about an 11-year-old. You know, my mom's friend comes in. Her name is Ludmila. She comes in and I'm very uneasy because I see a huge conflict around her. I see a huge energy. I see her being hurt, crying. I literally see her in her bed, crying herself to bed. And I also have an immediate knowing that there is something that has to do with her husband. That's an 11-year-old. Pulled my mom aside and I'm like, something strange. I feel these things, only to find out that there is a betrayal in the family. They end up in a divorce. And so over the years, it culminates when I'm 16 and a 16-year-old, I'm going to an academy in Kiev. And every Saturday for the fun of it, I have a bunch of girls. And what I now use as a language, I scan their energy. At that point, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just like, well, let's see what's in alignment for you. I'm not using big words like alignment. I don't remember what I'm using. We're just having fun. We're having fun. Call it fortune telling. That's probably the language for a 16-year-old, right? And by the way, if you guys are into fortune telling, I'm going to repeat, that's a language for 16-year-olds, okay? So it's fortune making, fortune creating. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But fortune telling. And so, and one day, I am with my friend Anya Chmukhova. And I very clearly see a death of her father. It scares me. I don't share it. I don't mention anything. He is a 40-year-old young man who dies of a heart attack 2 days later. And that throws me into a whole new spectrum of awareness. I'm terrified of this gift. I feel something is wrong with me. I feel that maybe there was something I should have done. And I throw myself into religion, and then into religions plural, and then into spirituality. And that journey continues for a good 20 years, adding on a PhD in metaphysics as the science of quantum physics and spirituality combined. And so that would be the beginning of what it is that I'm doing now without any fear and without hiding the light that I am and teaching others to do the same.
There's a lot to unpack there. And what I'm excited to talk to you about is you actually have a postgraduate degree in quantum physics. And so quantum physics, it's kind of like self-care, right? Like self-care became a buzzword after COVID. There was self-care, self-care. Quantum physics became kind of a buzzword after that movie, The Secret, came out, you know, in the early 2000s. And everybody's talking about quantum physics, but you actually have a degree in it. And this is,
I have a degree in metaphysics. I don't want to get credit for what's not due. Quantum physics is the hard science of physics. I have a soft degree in philosophy of quantum physics as to how it's reflected in spirituality. I just don't want anybody to assume anything.
All right, that's fair. And but that's even better, actually, for the conversation we're going to have today. So if somebody is not a longtime listener in the show, because we have touched on quantum physics from time to time, give us in the Dr. Vika nomenclature, give us your definition of quantum science, because you refer to yourself as a quantum pioneer, which is cool. So I want to talk about too, but I think we have to understand the quantum before we can talk about your pioneering in that space.
So we want to talk about immediacy and instancy, the two concepts that are the concepts of quantum physics, in linear logical physics, in the physics of 3D, in a mechanical physics fathered by Isaac Newton, there is a time lapse. There is time, distance, and movement. And when you look at time, distance, and movement, the reality in which we live, we are under control of either time or distance or movement that is a relationship between time and distance, truly. And so all the laws of mechanical put us on a timeline. This is where I am in personal development, and this is where I'm going. So I'm going to set the goal, I'm going to do a little post, and I'm going to move in that direction. It's the binary system, black and white. It's a one and a zero. And in comes quantum physics. Quantum physics says, time is relevant. Space is relevant. It is relevant to who the observer is. And so now all of a sudden you go from a choice of between choosing A and B, which is the mechanical physics. In mechanics, if it doesn't go up, it's going down, or it may be stuck in between on its way up or down. In quantum physics, all of a sudden, any particle has the capacity to infinitely and simultaneously move in all directions. So we go from a choice between A and B to an infinite possibility of choices. So where we take quantum application of infinite possibility of choices as energy into personal development, we now use a very beautiful language. Everything is possible. What is probable? How do I make it the most probable? The birth of a miracle is first understanding everything is possible, and second, inviting and increasing the probability of it happening in your life. So the quantum physics is the study of infinite possibilities underpinned by practical probabilities of achieving any one of them.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. That was beautifully said. And so then I want to circle back to you as a quantum pioneer. So talk to us about what that means.
Yes. So in personal development, if you were to summarize it in one phrase, you would say it is mind over matter. However you play with that, it's mind over matter. And so it's mindset that causes the emotion drives you into the action brings result. That is a summary of all personal development work there is. Quantum personal development says, yes, but what is over mind? Because it is what you put your mind under that will direct your understanding. You stand under it. And in quantum personal development that we're pioneering, that concept of surrender of your mind to the concept of love. And love is not just a touchy-feely, I hug you, you feel better, which is important. Everybody should get 3 hugs today and then tell me how much better you feel after that, even if you're not a touchy-feely person. But that's not what love is. Love for us is life originating vibrant emotion or energy in motion. Life originating vibrant emotion, everything that originates and supports life, that pours energy into life, is love. That is as simple as I could possibly have stated it. And so quantum pioneer of personal development is somebody who says, it's great you have these goals. We can work on your mindset, but we start with surrender to love. Let's surrender the vision to love, because it shifts you out of the egocentric personal development to divinely centric expansion and the development that impacts every single life in the best and highest way and always, very much like Daily Helping does.
So I love this. I mean, the purpose of the show for the last 7 years is to get everybody to live their best selves so that they are in a space where they feel great. And if everybody is happy and feeling great, the world is better than it was the day before. So this is very much the chocolate to my proverbial peanut butter, which makes me happy. So playing a little bit of devil's advocate, because this is fun. So how is that different, you know, surrender to love? You've studied multiple religions and spirituality. You have this degree in metaphysics, which is a little blend of both. So how is this different than just surrendering to a particular deity and, you know, applying religious doctrine to your personal development? Where's that different?
It doesn't have to be different if it's aligned.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, no matter what religious path you walk. So I ended up actually being Christian, practicing metaphysical Christian. I'm Christian, I'm LDS. And I'll tell you why. I've studied and written on the laws my whole life. universal laws. You can throw any law at me. I will understand it and explain it in a way that is uniquely geared towards the question. It's a talent. It's not mine. It's God-given, so I'm going to praise it. Okay? And so because I understood the laws and because I've studied the karmic wheel and the dharmic path, I also understand that in this matter, in this physical reality, none of us can outrun karma. We are subject to the laws. Not to ignore them, we are to master universal laws constantly and continually. And when there is a gap of mastery, we can use the law of what I call divine grace. And there's only one master who's done that. I'm not preaching, I'm sharing, right? So you have a choice of how you align with the universal laws and how you work with them. And I love them. I work with them, and we help people of all walks in life to see which laws they're subject to and how to be working with them instead of being punished by them.
Okay, this is interesting. You've mentioned the universal laws a couple of times. You mentioned karma, which I think most people understand karma, dharma, probably not as many. How many universal laws are there? I guess first, that's a good starting question.
Infinitely.
Infinitely. Okay. So we don't have time to name them all. But you mentioned karma, you mentioned dharma. Let's talk about those two, maybe just for a few sentences. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Let's talk about what I believe the energy of the podcast is asking for. And it's a new revolutionary concept. You love bringing revolutionary concepts in. And, you know, everybody, people heard about karma and they might want to choose. But let me give the reversal of the law that I know will change everybody's life today. If they tune in to hear and if they tune in to apply it, right? Innovation is inspiration plus implementation. I'm going to inspire you. That's a gift. Whether you implement it or not is a choice. So let's lean into innovation of a brand new law. We've all heard that there is a law of giving and receiving, which you would say is the law of the harvest, which is under category of karma. What you give is what comes back. So it's giving and receiving. So what I would like to propose and then argue in favor of, the girl got a dissertation, I had to argue my point, right, is that the actual universal law is not the law of giving and receiving. It is the law of receiving and giving. And because we've misconstrued it and violated it with our misconstruction, we're such a subject through the punishment by that law. What do I mean by that? Let's look at the biology of it. This life starts when you take your first breath, physiologically. You receive the air into your lungs. And this life ends biologically when you let go of that last breath. You receive life and then you give it. And that is the biology of that. Let's look at the energy psychology of that. You know, Wayne Dyer used to say that when you squeeze an orange, what comes out is orange juice. No matter how hard you squeeze it, apple juice is not going to come out. What do I translate it to? When life happens to you and it squeezes you, what comes out of you is what's inside of you. So we say, he made me do it. She made me angry. He drives me crazy. Oh, no, buddy, you're full of crazy and you're full of anger. And he, she, they pushed the bottom on me that released who I am inside. So I can only give what I've already received, whether I received it as a child or I'm receiving it from daily nourishing. What I'm watching is what's coding my reception. What I'm listening to is what is I'm receiving in order to give. So we receive first and then we give. Why is it so crucial to our understanding? Because what happens when you give, and you think you're giving first in order to receive, you give with strings attached. And when you give with strings attached, you're poisoning a beautiful, pure flow of prosperity. And then you say, no, 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 I don't give with strings attached. When we are so self-punishing that I'm giving, but I don't want anything in return, that comes from guilt. I'm giving, but I'm already guilty ahead of time that I'm giving for the purpose of receiving. So either you try to manipulate the universe and you give in order to receive, which is poison, or you're guilty about not trying to do it. And then you're vibrating at an energy of subconscious guilt, which is very, very poisonous, and it prevents your ability to create the life you want. But when you reverse it and you understand that you're receiving first, that you've already received, there's nothing to gain but what you're giving. You've already received so much, and as you allow for that to be then given into the world, you're now tapping from the paralysis of guilt into prosperity of grace. So once you understand the law of receiving and giving, you can start applying it in a very powerful and immediate way.
One of the things that we've been trying to do here for many years is impart upon people that there is a biological component to this, right? And I love this because you're coming at this from a spiritual and energy standpoint. And I understand that there is a biological component. We as human beings are hardwired to feel good, right? When we do good things for other people. And you can put sensors on people's brains and actually observe areas of the brain light up in real time when this happens. I think it's interesting. And I think about this, you know, through the lens of a psychologist, because I have heard many people in this space, whether they're psychiatrists or whether they're counselors or coaches, I've heard them say in different ways, you know, they don't want to charge a lot for what they're doing, or that there's this, you know, there seems to be this inherent disconnect with the helping profession in general, because people in that space have an unhealthy relationship, I think, with money. And to apply this, Dr. Vika, to what you're talking about, we're talking about, you know, receiving, right? They should view it. I mean, we should all view it like we've already received it, right? If we have a skill, if we have, because we all have something that makes us uniquely us, that we're here to do, you know, whether we realize it yet or not, like all of us have talents, unique talents. And there are people willing to compensate us, even if it's not monetary compensation, right? It could be something else to compensate us for our talents, but a lot of people struggle with that. So thank you for really explaining that in a beautiful way, because it's the inverse of what we're all taught, right?
Yes. Yes. And beyond that, too, what you just said so powerfully is that two concepts, the self-sabotage will block the receiving, and then we'll want the ego to pander to it. So, you know, everybody can get better at receiving, right? I've mentioned to you earlier, we actually have a whole mygiftoffer.com of 50 sabotaging programs and shift to the ones that open receiving, you know, to mention that. But it's deeper than that. It's to understand, and this will be very freeing for many people, is that when you struggle to receive from another person, you're assuming unconsciously that you're better than them, that they're less blessed, that they're less abundant. It actually comes from an unhealthy, hidden sense of superiority. Who are any of us to think that others cannot pour into us? And then we prevent them from triggering the receiving and giving in a beautiful way. And so framing it that way, when somebody offers anything, find a way to receive it in the most graceful way. I've learned it in a very difficult way. And I remember speaking to an audience. I was a very shy kid. I've gone through a lot of trauma as a kid, which codes into your mind. You're a psychologist. Very often it's shyness. I was a very shy kid. Actually did not speak for years, actually. So, you know, and as that shy kid speaking on the public stage, the first time I was speaking to a huge audience and they stood up and I got a standing ovation, I physically became so uncomfortable, I started backing off the stage, trying to get off as fast as I can. I felt my mentor physically push me back up front. It was the most awkward way to observe. And you know, this whole thing. And I finally came in there. When I got off the stage, he looked at me and he said, "Some of those people, they've received so much from you. And all they can give you back is the gratitude in the form of ovation." Who do you think you are to disregard their gratitude?
Hmm.
Oh, wow. You talk of moments that are tiny, that are huge. I stood there, and that was probably the most profound self-healing on receiving I've gone through. And so when somebody blesses you in their best capacity, I feel it's my responsibility to receive it fully.
That's a really beautiful illustration. And I can't help but think, you know, again, you're reframing self-sabotage in a different way. A lot of times people frame it under the opposite. It's a lack of self-worth, but you're describing it as actually that there's an arrogance that maybe we're taught because of our upbringing or a friend or something, right? Like, and as you're talking about encoding, and I'm thinking about what is the theoretical cognitive framework that translates to what you're talking about, the end result nonetheless is that we are self-sabotaging. And, you know, my last guest that I just talked to was talking about how, you know, he had a really good life. He had a beautiful home and a great wife, and he destroyed that life. He destroyed that relationship. And he now understands the mechanisms that would cause him that. But for many of us who are looking to, you know, and this isn't like, I want to become an instant billionaire kind of thing. There are the people listening to this or other personal development platforms, I think it's the word. Self-sabotage is probably the number one thing that's holding them back, right? That holds so many of us back. So in the time we have left, and I know, as you said, there's infinite universal laws. I imagine there's quite a lot of things that you help people with, but what's called to you right now? What are a couple things that people could do to start overcoming that self-sabotaging behaviors?
I'm going to give a practical advice and then a free resource as the answer to that. Practical advice is there are really three self-sabotaging patterns. One is to the point of I'm not worthy, is just I'm not good enough. You can think any version of that. And so to reverse it into immediate worth is understand that what you've done or are doing does not make you unworthy. You just forgot that it is unworthy of you. That's a huge reframe. So we've all done things we're not proud of. And if we have this limitation that what I've done takes away from my infinite worth, we will never catch that game up. Never. Because by the end of the day, you and I, with the best intentions, we're decent human beings. They're going to mess up. I'm just going to say something that I didn't mean to. I mean, okay, here we go. So once that happens, you're going to remind yourself. I use the language, you know, you are a child of God. Use your language, divine spark, you know, whatever your language is. It's unworthy of me. Because that does two things. It starts auto-correcting the behavior. And it reminds you of your infinite worth. That's the immediate application. How do you do it in terms of practicality? Also, when you've done something that you probably shouldn't have, you're going to say, that's no longer me. Say it out loud. Have you every cell of the body here. That's no longer me. That used to be me. But when you do something you're proud of, something that you are growing into, say, now that is just like me. That is going to lovingly nourish your self-sabotage into oblivion. That's step number one. The second belief, the second underlying cause is what I want is just out of my reach. For most successful entrepreneurs, for most visionaries I work with, they're thriving, but what I want is just out of my reach. That's a deeper concept. It's a deeper concept. That one and the second one parallel to it. I'm so different. I don't belong anywhere. So I'm going to address the third one as the words of encouragement. If you feel different, it's because you were born to make a difference. So don't let the world change you when you were born to change the world. So celebrate your difference. You belong with us. You belong with the Dr. Rick. You belong with me. You belong with people that are here to change the world. We're so different. And the middle one, because it has so many aspects to what I want is just out of my reach. That is where I would invite everybody to go to mygiftoffer.com. there is a free resource of 20 years of accumulating 50 the most sabotaging subconscious programs, substituting with the 50 freeing patterns of behavior, and a 12-minute video of a free me EFT modality that we're spearheading all over the globe of taking you how to release one pattern and to step and affirm the next one. If you do nothing else, if nothing, then, you know, there are obviously pop-ups of other offers, but if you don't do anything else, if you commit to once a week creating a shift within 50 weeks, I promise you, your life will take a quantum leap that none of us can foresee, but all of us can benefit from.
Very cool. Very cool. I have enjoyed every second of our time together, Dr. Vika. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests a single question, and that is, what is your biggest helping, that most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
If this infinite universe had a better way to fill in the place and time that you currently occupy, it would have done so, but it has not. So you, as you are exact, intricate, beautiful, powerful, magnificent piece of the puzzle. Remember that and start releasing everything that's unworthy of that.
Beautifully said. Dr. Vika, tell us where people can find you online and learn more about all of the great things you're doing.
So for your gift, mygiftoffer.com. To learn more about us, U2Shine, YU2Shine.com.
Awesome. And for those of you in the gym, we got you covered. Everything Dr. Vika will be in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, this has been awesome. I have loved our time together. Dr. Vika, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day to listen to this, if you liked it, if you're inspired, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your feeds using the hashtag #MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.